nation, and especially for a noble purpose in the Lord, the blessing of a little baby. In the Philippines, when we come to bless a child, comes with not just one. We've blessed as many as 22 at one time. Not saying they propagate faster than we, but there's so many of them over there. And it's always a joy to assemble for that reason and for that purpose. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 126. And I'm going to read the six verses there. Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A song of praise to God Almighty, offered by a people chosen of him. And if you look at that and begin to ask yourself what I just read, it is that song praising God's favor to his chosen people. And it's a continued prayer for a manifestation to be among them, not just on that one occasion, but to continue throughout their service to God. It starts off saying, when the Lord. And what happened was those that came out of Babylon had caused great joy, caused to be ecstatic, and they showed their admiration for that freedom that they attained, even to the point that the heathen noticed and exclaimed, God has done this. It says, turned again the captivity, referring to the Lord turning again that captivity. Many commentators interpret that as the Lord turning back to his people, but the Lord never turns away from his chosen, those that have declared him. We may leave him from time to time. We may separate ourselves by choice, by chance, by accident, but we have a way to come back. All of them did not return at once. And they continued that prayer, praying that streams, as they return in the south to nourish a parched desert, would return spiritually to nourish them in the times, the problems that surely would lie ahead. At the end of that reading, it talks about a sower casting his seed in a dry and parched soil. Not a chosen soil always, but a dry and parched soil. And we see that physically in the planting of fields. But spiritually, it is pretty much the same thing. And the sower casts that seed, and it says, they weep as they do so because they pray that that seed will grow on the parched land or in the soul of man or woman. So as we sow, you and I, as the Lord causes his chosen to sow. We must do so in faith, and in doing it in faith, we have opportunity to choose the Lord, to have faith in him. So, who was it that returned again? Those that were freed of Babylon. Israel was governed by kings by choice, not the Lord's choice, but he allowed them to choose kings. And it started out with King Saul, and then David, and then Solomon, and all looked good until they got down to a king, Rehoboam. That may be a poor pronunciation. But they got down to a king that allowed pride and taxation and accumulation of wealth to cause division within the nation. And you and I know that they divided at that point into what we refer to as a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern had 10 tribes with a king, and the southern had 2 tribes, basically, with a king also. And they had Jerusalem. It was torn asunder. And they were allowed to come back and look forward to a rebuilding once again. And these two kingdoms, you can refer to them as Israel, coexisted for 200 years. They fought with each other at times. And if an enemy came from without with a common purpose against them, they united and fought as one. But they fought amongst themselves. So the northern kingdom fell about 721 BCE to the Assyrian nation. We know that the southern kingdom fell about 586 to the Babylonians, and they were the ones that released the southern kingdom. 12 tribes separated. If we turn in the Book of Mormon to Mosiah, 2nd chapter, verse 13, well known, one of Frank Fan's favorite scriptures. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. So chief among those scriptures is that word to believe in. To believe in God. Verse 17, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, as I've said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of the goodness and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls. Even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God and your own nothingness. This is another king of one of the peoples that were scattered and were caused to come to the promised land. His name is King Benjamin, and he placed God foremost in his heart, and viewed himself as king as nothing before God. And he served the people well. And his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourself, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. That's underlined in my book. To stand in faith steadfastly against a force from the outside or a force from within. To stand steadfast for that which is to come. And if you view God in his greatness and your own humility, that's easy to do. But if you're lifted up in the world, verse 22, and behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins, and you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. To believe, to grow in knowledge of that which is just and true. A process that we stand in need of. In the book of Enos, as Enos sought the Lord all by himself in the jungle, in the wilderness, he prayed to God, and he found God, and he felt that weight lifted up in coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave him a very simple command. Go to it. Go to life. Go to the world. Make your living prosper. Live, grow in the knowledge of God. To go to it. To take what he had blessed him with, removing sin, and he felt it, and to grow thereby. So as we look at the scriptures that we are to believe in God, come to a point where we grow in God and achieve or gain knowledge of God and his truth, do we believe in Jesus Christ? Or do we believe on Jesus Christ? Which is correct? Which should we strive for in life? So if we have to choose which is most important to grow and come to a knowledge, what do we attain to first and then later second? To believe in, while the phrases believing in Jesus and believing on Jesus are often used interchangeably, they can have slightly different nuance. Believing in Jesus generally refers to acknowledging the historical fact of Jesus and his teachings, while believing on Jesus often implies a deeper, more personal faith that includes a trust and reliance and a commitment to follow him. So, which is the most important? Which do you come to first? Believing in Jesus can be seen as an intellectual acceptance of Jesus' existence and his role as the Son of God, the Messiah, or great teacher. It might involve acknowledging his miracles, teachings, crucifixion, and resurrection. However, it might not necessarily lead to a personal relationship with Jesus or a commitment to follow his teachings. Believing on Jesus involves a trust and a reliance, a commitment and a surrender, and to develop a relationship. Now, best example I'd like to bring to you, in my small mind, is a man by the name of Lewis Burwell Puller. You know him? Bob, you should. Chesty Puller. He retired a lieutenant general of the Marines. And I looked at some of his quotes. Some I can't quote, some I can share. But in the Chosin Reservoir in North Korea, he found himself in a situation. He had his troops with him. They were deployed. And he said, he addressed them. He said, "We've been looking for the enemy for some time now. We finally found him. We're surrounded." That simplifies things. He was outnumbered. He was completely surrounded, but he had the enemy where he wanted. They knew where they were. 37 years in the Marine Corps before he retired. And I thought about that commitment that he made to the Marine Corps, and more importantly, the commitment that the Marines made underneath Chesty. They were committed, though surrounded. And I thought about us in the world today. Are we committed to Christ and we're surrounded by the world, by evil, by temptation, by pitfalls we can't even imagine? But they're there. So, do we believe in Christ? Do we believe on Christ? Which is the most important? And as I looked at that, as I thought about it, I wasn't in the Marine Corps. I was in the Army. And when you go into boot camp and then AIT later, they break you down to build you up, to make you what they can fight with. And as we enter into Christ, in the waters of baptism, we do so believing in Jesus Christ. And as that child was presented for a blessing this day, he was presented to the Lord for a blessing throughout his life and through his parents and through your influence also, that he might grow in strength and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ someday. So we believe in Christ and we grow in Christ, and in doing so, we believe on Jesus Christ. The word believe, and I may pronounce this wrong, the Greek word pistuo, occurs 248 times in the New Testament. Translated, believe in variation 239 times with 9 various uses of the word. Found most often in the Gospel of John, they say at 100. And second place belongs to Acts with 39 times. And believe describes a primary action on the part of mankind in regards to God's word, what he does with it once he believes in and seeks to believe on. In the Book of Mormon, it appears in the Variations 584 times. To believe, believeth, or believed. The Book of Mormon emphasizes the concept of faith in Jesus Christ as central to salvation and personal growth. To believe in and to believe on, to grow in Christ. And I stumbled across an example I found in the world. Stephanie Turner. Do you know her? She was to fence Redmond Sullivan. She's a fencer. She's pretty good at it. And she showed up for the tournament, but she took a knee. She gave up before she even started. And she received a black card for that action, which is bad, I guess, if you fence. She made a statement, "As a woman fencing in a woman's tournament, I do not believe men should fence in my category. Redmond Sullivan views himself as transgender, a woman. I was not aware Mr. Sullivan was registered until the night before the tournament. I prayed about it and decided if Mr. Sullivan and I were to fence face to face, then I would peaceably protest by taking a knee." I thought about that. She had a problem when she found out who she was to fence, being a woman against a transgender. What do I do? Who did she talk to? Not a counselor. Not her coach. She asked God about it. And it says that she came to a peace about it. She said later she had previously refused to fence in tournaments in which she knew a transgender athlete was going to compete, including the 2023 Summer Nationals. She closed in saying, "I want to thank God for trusting me with this mission to fight for female exclusive sports and putting me in a place to effectively protest." Now, she called it female exclusive sports, but it's fighting for truth. You blessed a male gender this morning. We've blessed female genders. We don't bless transgender. It's not in the Word of God. She sought the wisdom of God. Now, talked about Stephanie, I talked about Chesty, and those are pillars I found in the world that adhere to truth, a moral conscience, what they've been taught, what they believe. Pillars are important. We have pillars in the Church of Christ. Some of them are growing very old with gray hair out there. Some of them have passed away, but we remember them, their testimony, their witness, the truth that they stood up for. And as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we start a process of growth in Him towards a knowledge of truth, and we come to a point that we believe on Him. They're important in the world, but they're important in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Zion's Advocate, Volume 102, the newest one. Number 2, page 23, in part says, every believer is called to be a pillar in Christ's church by following our Lord and Savior, a pillar in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about a pillar in the Philippines. Man by the name of Leopoldo Bada. And he was baptized in 2012. He was later called to be a priest. And as a member of the priesthood in May 4th through May 10th of this year, they prayed for direction, for callings, for strength, for knowledge of the Lord and what they were to be about. He had a dream on May 15th, 2025. He awoke at 4 o'clock in the morning. In his dream, it was revealed unto me in my dream that I saw a big tree upon the top of the hill. While I'm climbing to the top and approaching to that big tree, I saw a river surrounding that big tree. When I arrived near to that big tree, I saw a big root coming from the tree under the water about, he says, 2 feet deep. It was submerged 2 feet in the water that separated him from the tree. And I walked along the top of that root to cross the river. The current of the water is very strong. While walking along the root, I wondered that even the strong current of the water, he wondered about it. I am still standing and I don't drift. And I woke up. I meditated on my dream, continued to pray for the right interpretation. Gordon McCann and I, we looked at that dream that he received, and we, Gordon, and I concur with him, came to the conclusion that's supported in the book of Revelations. We turn to Revelation 22. Starting with verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whomsoever loveth and maketh a lie. We are surrounded by that. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I believe that interprets what my brother received. He's proved to be a pillar while in the Church of Christ. You don't know him, but I do. Gordon does. priest Leopoldo Botta, in a weakened state from an illness, fell, and he was unable to move, and he hit his head. He's diabetic. He's a little over 70 years old. And he was placed in the hospital, and the first one was in Bayugan. He was placed there July 7, 2025. And the priesthood was having a separate meeting in headquarters. And it was a priesthood meeting. And with the closing prayer, they prayed for him, prayed for the Green Obata, the chairman of the board, who's an elder, led them in a prayer for Leopoldo. 30 minutes after the prayer, while having lunch, he received a call, the Green Obata did, from his sister, which told him the words that came from Leopoldo's mouth. And it was witnessed by Geneva Botta, that's DeGrino's wife, Botta's daughter, and her son, who was a grandson. And the words, in brief, that he said was that he had a vision. A personage appeared to him. And he asked him, "Will I die now?" He felt like he was dying. He was close to death. And the voice answered and said, "Not now, but you will suffer." Later on, he made another statement. He asked if his son, by the name of Felix Botta Sr., was there, younger brother to DeGrino. And they said no. And he said, "Someone in the Botta family is going to die." And they asked, "Is it male or female?" He says, "I can't tell you yet. But they're going to die. I know who they are." And he asked about Felix. He wasn't there. So they discharged him from that hospital, put him in a more modern hospital in Bayugan City, which is a big city way up north. And he was discharged from the first hospital on July 9. In the second hospital, he went into a coma. And when he awoke, he made a statement that an angel took me 4 days to heaven, a heaven-like place, and showed me my place and told me, he asked, "Can I stay?" And he asked, "Or do I go back?" And they said, the personage that was with them said, "Do you desire to go back?" And he said, "Yes." And he was given a message. Again, the reassurance that he was going to die soon and that he would suffer and it would be within a 2-week period. When he came to and the priesthood realized who in the Botta family had died, Felix Botta Jr. died unexpectedly with no knowledge given to Leopoldo the day he was discharged from the first hospital. It's kind of involved, kind of intricate, but to me that witnesses that he had a truth you can't refute. But he was given a message to give to the church. And the first is to continue The second is to endure. The third is to be strong. And the fourth is to take good care of the people and the church. He was given a message for the church, and if we think about what he was given, continue to endure, to be strong, and to take care of the people and the church, to endure to the end until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a pillar in the Church of Christ. Not all pillars are ministry, though. During this period of time, I lost one of our leaders that teaches and preaches in a mission by the name of Gomer Sendo Bahai, 90 years old, and he died of old age. He was a wonderful old guy. He was a good teacher, always cheerful, held the people together in Del Monte Mission, which is way up north. And he had a homemade guitar, 3-string, and it was the size, did you ever see that, Steve? It was the size of the cello that Manon Lawrence plays on. Biggest thing I ever saw in my life. Was it beautiful? It blended well with my singing voice, and you know what I sing like, but it made a memorable noise to the Lord. And he was a good old guy. Pillars are not all ministry. Pillars are leaders, Sunday school teachers, those that lead camp, teach camp, those that take an active part in believing in Christ, growing in Christ, and coming to the point that they believe on Christ and they're able to pass it on. Now, we're surrounded. Got a couple of things I want to share. The largest teachers union in the United States, the National Education Association. They have determined to promote a version of the Holocaust remembrance that does not mention Jews, according to the 2025 handbook. It references victims of the Holocaust from different faith and teaches that Israel was founded through forced, violent displacement and dispossession. That's in their recent guide that they put out, that the union subscribes to. And it's no small union. 3 million public school teachers and education workers belong to that. And they use it as a guide for their group's priorities, strategies, and goals. And it's spread amongst the national and state leaders. The NEA's bylaws and is updated with any new resolutions and policy position the union has endorsed. So in short, what is that saying? They're saying that the Holocaust that happened to those that believed in God as Israel, they bullied their way into existence. They weren't a part of that Holocaust movement. Now, back in 1945, Chief of Staff George C. Marshall received a letter. And he received that from General Dwight D. Eisenhower, Supreme Commander, Allied Expeditionary Forces. He toured Dachau and another side of the Holocaust. And he said, the things I saw beggar description. I didn't know what that phrase meant, beggar description. And it's something so extraordinary or extreme that it cannot be adequately described or explained using words. You have to see it to believe it. The things I saw beggar description. I made the visit deliberately in order to be in a position to give firsthand evidence of those things, if ever, in the future, there develops a tendency to change these allegations merely to propaganda. He knew what man would do with that truth. And he spoke against it. And he told that staff sergeant, and he told the chief of staff, bring members of Congress here. Let them tour. Let them hear a personal witness and testimony, because someday somebody's going to say, this never happened. And it's here. They say that they bullied their way in, forced violent displacement and dispossession to have the nation of Israel. But that's not the way it came into existence. It came into existence because of the British Mandate of 1917, the Balfour Declaration, because of the UN Partition Plan, 1947, because of the 1948-49 armistice and agreements on subsequent conflicts. Israel had to fight the nations that surrounded them when they tried to displace where they'd been placed. Truth cannot be changed. One other pillar. Our priest, Lodi J. Alameda, the son of Elder Alameda that visited the temple lot here several years ago, preached here, sang here with his wife Lolita. His son is an emerging pillar in the Philippines. He buried our brother Bada. And when he got back, he said, we also buried Brother Leopoldo today. We just got back home. And Wilson and Roger Manali traveled with me. And he said, I am thankful for our God and for the hope that we have in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that by our faith in Christ, and keeping his commandments, we have received forgiveness and that beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost to abide within us in this life, to lead and direct us in all things. I'm finishing faster than what I thought I would. This is not just directed at you or who'll hear it later on, but at myself. You have to ask yourself, who do you believe in? Are you growing? And do you believe on Jesus Christ? Will you become and in time be remembered as a pillar in this Church of Christ? It's no small thing. Closing. Another thing that Frank Fan liked was Helen Steiner Rice. How great the yield from a fertile field. The farmer plows through the fields of green, and the blade of the plow is sharp and keen. But the seed must be sown to bring forth grain. For nothing is born without suffering and pain. And God never plows in the soul of man without intention and purpose and plan. So whenever you feel the plow's sharp blade, let not your heart be sorely afraid. For like the farmer, God chooses a field from which he expects an excellent yield. So rejoice, though your heart be broken in two. God seeks to bring forth a rich harvest in you. And I thank you.